Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk again about the kingdom of God. And we're going to talk about the kingdom of God in the world and of the world. Now, we've spoken about how many people believe that Jesus Christ was an actual king. Other kings, Herod was worried about it. Shepherds knew it, angels knew it, thousands of people knew it and hailed him as the highest son of David when he came into Jerusalem. He fired the money changers, which was a job that only the king had the power to do, and he was actually a king. He was doing the job of the king, but it wasn't a king like we think today. It wasn't a king like Saul became. It was a king like Saul should have been. Not exercising authority one over the other. And we'll talk more about exactly where Saul went wrong and show you why in the New Testament they're talking about Jesus not going the way of Saul. Doesn't mean he wasn't a king. It just meant he was a different kind of king. In John 18:36, we see, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, and I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Now, we think that he's talking about the planet, or at least we are led to believe that he is talking about the planet. But Jesus, from the beginning, had said that his kingdom was at hand. It was in the present tense. It was for the living. He was hailed as king. He was doing the job of king. He was in the royal treasury, doing the job that only the king was allowed to do, but he was a different kind of king. So how did his kingdom operate? And they actually tell you, but we have a tendency to remove his kingdom from this planet because it says in this John 18:36, "My kingdom is not of this world." You have to understand the context of these statements. He was talking to Pontius Pilate, and we're going to get into exactly what that relationship was and why he would use those words in relationship to this particular moment and time when he was talking to Pontius Pilate, who was going to sit in the judgment seat. Now, Jesus was the king. He was doing the job of the king, but he couldn't do certain things because the king wasn't supposed to do those certain things. And once you understand the context of the law and the context of history and the context of what was going on at that particular time, a broader, wider vision of the gospel may occur to you. Now, I say may occur to you because we have to overcome preconceived notions. You have to be willing to accept facts that don't fit in to many of the modern interpretations of the Bible. And we're going to try to break it down into simple things. We're going to try to bring to you questions that we will answer, that will, over the last decades and decades of preaching the gospel, we have heard these questions come from other people. So we assume that in our audience, some people will be asking the same questions in their minds, and we will give you the answer. We will show you where the answer is so you can check it out yourself. We don't want you to believe us. We want you to believe Christ, but you have to hear what Christ actually said. And when he said, "My kingdom was not of this world," he used a Greek word that meant constitutional order or system of government. He was speaking to the head of a government in Judea and telling him that "my kingdom is not of your constitutional order or system of government." This was a different word than he used when he said, talked about the end of the world. He wasn't using that word, but we translate them both into world, and we have a tendency to think that he's talking about the same thing, and he's not. They would have used a different word. If he was talking about when he refers to the end of the world, he's not even talking about the end of the planet. He's talking about the end of an age, and that's the word he uses. And it's not translated world most of the time, but there they decided to do so, which is fine. Once you're being taught the whole context of the gospel and where Christ was actually taking the people. If we go farther into the New Testament, we see in James 2:5, he says, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, same word in the Greek, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom. They are actually heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him. And we talked before about the fact that he says, I'm going to take the kingdom away from the Pharisees. So they evidently have the kingdom. And we talked about Daniel saying the kingdom of God is from generation to generation. And so the kingdom is actually something on this planet at hand, and Jesus was its king. How did it work? Because how it works will explain to us what the church was doing, how they came into conflict with those governments at that time, and why the Christians were being persecuted, both by individuals and sometimes by the government itself. Where was the conflict? Because in understanding that conflict, we begin to understand exactly what Christ was telling us to do, to seek to do. We're told to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What does that look like? In Ephesians 5:5, we see, for this ye know, that no whoremongers, nor unclean persons, nor covetous men, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now remember, Jesus had said, I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father has appointed unto me. So that would be the kingdom of Christ that he appointed to his apostles. We call it today the church. Now, everything calling itself today the church is not a part of that kingdom. I mean, there's a church of Satan, and, you know, there's all kinds of churches. There's thousands of denominations. How do we know that somebody is really the kingdom of Christ? Well, that's another question that we'll answer, but we have to do it kind of in context, and we're going to bring you up to speed with what Christ was actually saying, what the early church was actually doing, why it was essential for the freedom and survival of thousands, even millions of people as Rome collapsed. What was really going on? When Jesus told Pilate his kingdom was not of this world, he used that one of five different Greek words that we find in the New Testament that are sometimes translated world. And it was that word that meant, according to Thayer's lexicon, an apt and harmonious arrangement or constitution, comma, order, comma, government. That's what it meant. It comes from a word, chemizo, which means to take care of. And who takes care of you? The government or the church? Do you take care of one another out of love and hope and faith? Are you really living by that faith, surviving by that faith? Or do you ask somebody who uses force, who exercises authority one over the other, to take care of you, to provide for you, to protect you? If you're asking them, that is your prayers. That is who you are praying to protect you and help you and guarantee your security in this world. But Jesus was calling his apostles out of this world, not off the planet, but out of this world, much like Moses called the faithful out of that, and we've talked about it before, the walled-in camp of the golden calf. And why do I say walled-in camp? We have articles at Preparing You that talk about that. We've mentioned it in books, and we will continue to preach it exactly why, what kind of walls were walling in this camp of the golden calf. Because they talk about gates. So there must be places that you go in at and places you don't go in at. When I say wall, I don't necessarily mean a 20-foot high stone wall, but some sort of binding of the people within a almost jurisdiction where the golden calf was within that camp. In John 3:17, we see, for God sent his Son into the world not to condemn it. He did not want to condemn the world. He wanted to save the world. But that the world through him might be saved. Now, what Christ did is done. It's complete. All power is given unto him. But there's this might word, be saved, because there's something the people of the world have to do. And we see later on in Revelations where it talks about coming out of them, my people. Is he talking about coming out of the world? That's not where Christ started. Christ started with, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He called men out of the world, out of the organized system, to be separate, to be holy. That's what the word means. For a particular purpose. That the people of the world might be saved. In John 15:19, we see, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Well, the planet doesn't hate them. You see the context of that word. And we're only reading from verses right now that are using the word that means constitutional order or government, this organized arrangement. And he's talking about bringing them out of an organized arrangement because it's covetous. It's actually even idolatrous. And it's not the way that God wanted us to live with one another on this planet. The world, the organized system of men, took a turn to go a different way and became whoremongers, unclean persons, covetous men, who is an idolater. And they have no inheritance in Christ's kingdom. And we have to understand how that relates to what we might be doing today, because we may be very much of the world when Christ is calling us out of that world, because we are parts of organized systems. Once you understand who he's talking to, because every command of Christ was not for every person. Sometimes he's talking to particular people. Sometimes he's talking about a particular time. You know, one time he sends his apostles out to carry no purse with them, and to teach them a little bit about living by faith. But then another time he sends them out, you know, when the final instruction, he says, yeah, take your purse, take your coat. Be prepared. So I hear constantly people taking things out of context and quoting something as if it's an instruction, and it's not. It's not a part of the instructions of Christ. And we'll talk more about this next time on Keys to the Kingdom. Until then, peace upon your house, and may God be with you. For free articles, books, and other audios, contact us at hisholychurch.org or send us an email at radio@hisholychurch.org.